is crackling, everybody. Welcome on into the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by NumberFire. That is right here on NumberFire.com. And of course, the NumberFire Podcast Network, as we are taking a look ahead at the Players' Championship. A whole lot of moolah on the line this weekend. We're taking a look at it from a PGA DFS perspective. My name is Jim Sonnes. I am a senior writer and analyst for NumberFire.com, joined here as always by Brandon Gadula. He is a senior editor and analyst for NumberFire. Brandon, the Players' Championship coming up this weekend at TPC Sawgrass. The winner gets $2.25 million. How are you doing today?
I'm not doing quite as well as whoever's going to get that purse at the top, but I'm doing pretty great. It's the Players. It's a great championship. It's a kind of a tough one to figure out. We're going to see some studs miss the cut. It's just going to be weird, and that's always fun.
What do you think leads to that weirdness? Because you look back at the past couple of winners, last year's Webb Simpson, he had like a good run going into that and, you know, obviously won by four strokes. But the year before that, Siwoo Kim beat out Ian Poulter and Louis Wiesthaden. Like, there's a lot of weirdness that goes on here at the Players. What do you think causes that?
It could be a lot. It could be mental. That 17th hole really can mess with guys, I think. The greens, though, I mean, if we're talking, you know, just sort of objectively, the greens are small. And if you miss the greens, you could have some trouble. I mean, there's the ability to blow up here for sure. And now, like, another wrinkle, I know this isn't exactly what you're talking about, but this event used to be in March, then it moved to May, and now it's back in March. So I think that's going to kind of screw with some things that we've seen, some of these past stats, some of these past performances that we've seen in recent years, since 2006 for that change. That could sort of all be out the window. So, I mean, I know we're here to tell you kind of what to expect, but this could be one where we can't really expect whatever's going to happen.
And one thing that they mentioned that is different is that the rough is potentially a bit more punishing this time around, this time of year, and the weather may be a bit flukier. Looking at the weather, we discuss this later in the podcast, but there is some wind projected to be around between 10 to 15 miles per hour, and it's not in waves. It is just consistent wind between somewhere between 10 to 15 miles per hour. So there will be some wind. The roughs may be a little bit less forgiving than they have been in the past. And in general, this is a course that has skewed more towards accuracy than others do, at least relative to distance. So we'll talk about that.
That's that Pete Dye effect.
I always see that name. And I have nothing, like, I'm not a PGA like savant, but I always see that name.
I'm not a historian either.
Yeah. But Pete, you know. We know what you're doing. We got you, bud. TPC Sawgrass is 7,189 yards, so not the longest course on the tour. It is a par 72. The winner, as mentioned, gets $2.25 million, so a lot of moolah on the line this weekend. There are around 140 golfers in the field and regular cut rules to apply, so a more rigorous cut this week than there was last week with 20 additional golfers in the field. Brandon, as mentioned, a little bit different this year with the event being back in March from May previously. What stats are you focusing on while taking that into account?
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult sort of to figure out just what stats are going to matter most because, I mean, last year, I'll get to it in a second, there was a bit of a huge deviation from the norm. But with the transition back to March, this should be colder. Should be windier. I think it's been rainier there, so things could play softer. Than the course has played over the past 10 or so years. So we have to keep that in mind. This course could play differently than how it has been playing. But you really can't go wrong if you wait into your decision making, strokes gained approach, approach play. It's just always going to be a key stat for just about any course. It accounts for, you know, the par threes. Just the majority of strokes overall, especially now on this course with the small greens, approach play is going to matter. Over the past five seasons, the leaders in strokes gained approach have finished 57th, 48th, 2nd, 42nd, and 34th, but just one of them ranked inside the top 100 in strokes gained putting. So They're still making cuts and finishing, you know, top 50 despite being, you know, terrible on the greens because the approach play just matters so much. Of the past five winners, four were inside the top 16 in strokes gained approach. Webb Simpson, last year's winner, ranked 92nd, which is an anomaly. But before him, that definitely checked out. Siwoo Kim was 16th. Jason Day was 9th. Ricky Fowler, 3rd. Martin Keimer, 4th. So strokes gained approach definitely matters this week. As you alluded to, it is not a week to prioritize distance. Although accuracy itself doesn't really correlate quite as well to total strokes gained as good drive rate. So picking up greens in regulation after you miss the fairways or if you just hit the fairway, that's what good drive rate is. Again, greens in regulation ties into approach, but you know overall ball striking is the real key here. So, you know, that's not revolutionary. I know that, but that's kind of the way that I'm playing it. Part of it's obvious, but scoring well on the par fours is going to be vital. Each of the past three leaders in strokes gained on the par fours won the event. Scrambling and picking up strokes around the green also matters here. And that really means that, yes, you need to be accurate off the tee. You need to have good approach and you need to save par when you miss the green. So you can't really have too many flaws, but that makes sense. It's a tough field. It's a tough course. So I think that it's kind of an all-around week for me. Approach, good drives and or greens in regulation, performance on par fours, performance, you know, around the green or scrambling. And if you want, the greens are Bermuda this week.
And I think that I arrived at the same conclusion. You look back to last year. Yes, it was a year where guys who can go long performed really well outside of Webb Simpson. Like, he's not a distance guy, but like there were a lot of golfers who go long who did well last year. But 2017, it skewed pretty heavily towards good drive rate. 2016, even more so. So I am actually going good drive rate in my stats approach as well. Good drive rate, stroke screen approach, and scrambling, the three things I'm looking at. It's a lot of overlap for this week, and I'm interested to see how that plays out, because I have a couple of golfers who wouldn't normally fit my build from a roster construction perspective who are popping up as being very intriguing for this week. So we'll have to go back and forth, chat some roster construction for sure, and see how things play out, because this could be a very interesting week for the Players' Championship. Before we take a look at golfers who have done well at TPC Sawgrass in the past, the most exciting time in college basketball is here, and FanDuel has you covered. Get in on the action today and create a free bracket before the start of the tournament to compete for a share of $250,000 in guaranteed cash prizes. Then come back and bet every day of the tournament. Just go to FanDuel.com/madness. That is FanDuel.com/madness to sign up, and then you can fill out your bracket once they are released on Sunday night. That is FanDuel.com/madness. Start getting your bets in now for tournament time, and don't miss out on your free bracket. Limit one bracket per user. Must be 21 plus to enter. No purchase necessary. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER is a line for that. Let's take a look at past history here for the Players. Again, a bit different because this event is taking place in March instead of May, but golfers, Brandon, who have done well here in the past, that does include Adam Scott, who was originally in my past history discussion as well. So clearly a guy we should discuss at this course.
Oh, and you took him out.
For DJ. Yeah, I want to talk DJ from the flip side of course history.
I like that. Right. But yeah, Adam Scott, 10,700, which is kind of usually like a not...
It's a weird salary. That's kind of what I was alluding to before, because there are golfers, maybe not necessarily Scott, but in that range, who really get my attention.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even really know how to describe it. There are 11 golfers on FanDuel priced at 11,000 or above. And so that Scott's like expensive, but he's also like 15th in salary, 14th in salary. We don't usually see 10,700 being 14th on the list of salary. So he's expensive for sure, but I mean, he could go overlooked. But this is a course, as I alluded to before, where studs miss the cut. It definitely happens. Last year, we saw Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, Hideki Matsuyama, Phil Mickelson, Gary Woodland, Francesco Molinari all miss the cut. But Adam Scott doesn't really miss the cut. He's made 14 of his past 16. He missed in 2009 and 2011. Scott leads the field in both total strokes gained and strokes gained tee to green over the past five iterations of the players. He was 38th in both 2014 and 2015 in terms of finishing position. He was 12th in 2016, 6th and 11th the past 2 years. So that gives him three straight top 12 finishes. Scott most recently missed the cut at the Honda, but he was 7th at the Genesis, 60th at Pebble Beach, 2nd at the Farmers. You know, Scott was running really hot. We were kind of all in on him. We were not alone in that, you know, over the past few months, but he seemed to sort of lost some of that luster. But do you like him at even this elevated price, given how kind of tricky this course can be and the fact that he seems to have figured it out?
I think that it definitely doesn't hurt, because I think it's fair to value course history more at really tough courses. And Scott having had success here is certainly good. I think that the issue I run into is that I just like guys in this salary tier more. Specifically, Hideki is 10-5. And I don't know about you, but I think Hideki is not quite someone who makes me want to change my roster construction for the week. But if I'm going in this tier, I kind of think I'd rather just go with him. I think that, you know, Tiger Woods is 11-1. He is not that much more expensive than Scott either. So there are guys on both sides who I like a pretty decent amount more than Scott. And I think that if I go to this roster construction that leads me into guys like Woods, like Hideki, and kind of not going with a two-stud approach, I mean, not two-total stud approach, I think I'll just go with them over Adam Scott. So I think it does matter that he has done well here, but it may not matter enough to overcome the fact that, you know, you've got Hideki Matsuyama there and Tiger Woods and Tommy Fleetwood too, honestly. And I think I'd rather just go with those guys.
Yeah, it's funny. You're talking around a lot of these names and you passed over Xander, who I like at 11,000, and Sergio at 10,900.
Yeah.
So, look, I like Hideki. I think, I mean, he grades out second for me in my like short and long-term sort of stats model. I just can't get some of his putts from last week out of my head. That's very difficult for me. But yeah, I love Hideki, you know, Garcia, Xander. I like Tiger as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that there are enough options where I've kind of been saying this for weeks and I always sort of feel guilty, but I'll let ownership dictate things. And I kind of think that Scott's performance here could boost him up to a place where I think that he's overowned.
I think the other thing too that's good about that strategy is, again, it goes back to what we discuss with when you have options, you can better do that. And when it's at a course, that can lead to a lot of flukiness. I think it's beneficial to deviate from where the pack is. So I think there is extra credence to that thought process at this specific event. Let's talk here about Dustin Johnson. He is $12,300, the most expensive golfer in the field this week, tied for the shortest odds with Rory McIlroy. Normally, when we talk about Dustin Johnson in the past history section, it's because he mops up at the place they're at this week. This week, that's not really the case. This will be his 11th time at the Players, and Johnson has never finished better than 12th in the other 10 attempts. That 12th place finish, though, did come in 2017, followed that up with a 17th last year, which is his second best finish here. So the more recent form, better for Johnson. He's $12,300. We have a full complement of studs here this weekend, but not great course history for Dustin Johnson. So Brandon, given how many options we have, does that lack of a good course history scare you off of Dustin Johnson?
Doesn't scare me off of him at all, really. It's more that I'm trying to roster as many of these, like, I guess 10,000 and above. I'll just sort of make that the rough cutoff, even though Paul Casey's 9,900, it just sort of, you know, works. I'm trying to get as many of those golfers as I can into a lineup. And if I pay top dollar for Dustin Johnson at 12,300, it becomes exponentially harder to do that. If you look back at his course form, it's really not like that bad, you know, running backwards from 2018. If you just look at, you know, his tee to green ranks, 19th, 23rd, 15th, 74th, 47th. So the more recent trend is more promising for him. I mean, it just comes down to, are you okay if Dustin Johnson finishes 17th at 12,300? You can be, but it's probably not the way that you need to go for a big tournament.
I think the one thing that's good about Dustin Johnson is that the course history may, again, he's never going to be sneaky by any means, but it'll put a cap on his ownership, I think, which is a good thing, especially because Justin Thomas finished third here in 2016. Like, we have, you know, John Rahm's been crazy high. Like, there are other options, and I think that's going to prevent Johnson from being, like, you know, 40%.
It's funny you mentioned Rahm. I don't think anybody's going to play John Rahm.
Really? Given how good he's been recently, I guess I find that kind of surprising.
He doesn't seem overly likable to me. I like him because I sort of can relate.
I mean, you're talking to the Ian Poulter apologist here. So, like, likability doesn't rate very high on my scales.
Look, I mean, like, I literally do like John Rahm, but I kind of think that, look, Tiger's hurt. He's got a neck, but if he plays, he's going to carry ownership, even if it's a little bit depressed because of the injury. With Rory playing so hot, everyone's going to play him. Everyone's going to play Justin Rose at a depressed price relative to, you know, DJ. I just kind of think that nobody's going to play John Rahm.
Okay. I'm okay with that. I would get in on Rahm at that point because I think he's a very good player and he's golfing really well right now. So I'd be fine with that personally. With Dustin Johnson, I'm not going to get, like, we've had, I think, was it the WGC Mexico? I don't know, wherever it was recently where I went like 80% on Justin Thomas. I'm not going to be doing that with Dustin Johnson, but I would like to be overweight on him. And I think I can still get in two guys in that middle tier if I use DJ. And I think that makes me more okay with using him. So not going to have him in like 80% of my lineups, but I want to try to be overweight on him relative to the field.
Yeah. So according to fanshare.com, John Rahm has, and it's early, but just for some context, the leaders have about 12 tags, 10 mm-hmm. tags. He has one.
Okay.
And so does Bryson, because nobody likes him. Although I like him. I could understand why people don't like Bryson, but
yeah,
I do.
I think that Rahm being that low pushes me a little bit more towards him. So I do like Tiger a lot, but
if I were ranking them straight up, I mean, Rahm, just from a fit standpoint of all the guys priced at 11,000 and above, I might put him below everyone other than Jason Day.
Yeah.
But
I don't think I would put him below everyone, but he would not be very high in the list.
Yeah. But I mean, he can finish third here.
And it's really hard to argue with his current form.
Yeah.
Outside of the stats perspective, but the actual finishes are very good. Let's move on here to a golfer with a lower salary for this weekend. That's Chris Kirk, Brandon. He is $8,200, and I think both of us do like that mid-tier, and one way to use Dustin Johnson or Rory or Justin Thomas and still get into that mid-tier is by finding a golfer who is well below $9,000 who we are, you know, receptive to. And Chris Kirk, 82, what do you see with him for this weekend?
Yeah, Kirk, I mean, he's a little bit of my nemesis for this week. I picked Chesson Hadley over Chris Kirk last week for a matchup. Yeah, on golfdigest.com. And I mean, of course, our boy Chesson came through with a T17.
Chesson has not been our boy for a while. Maybe we need to revisit this.
That lanky guy, whatever. But Kirk, of course, finished 15th. So that was a pretty rough one. But I mean, his form has been pretty good. His approach play's been pretty solid. Picked up 3 strokes last week with his approach, 2.2 at the Honda, 9.2 at the Waste Management. He's made 6 straight cuts here, finishing 13th, 13th, 12th, and 46th in his past 4 finishes. He had a withdrawal in there, I think right in the middle. He's up to 22nd in approach over his past 100 rounds on tour, according to FantasyNational.com. That steady success here at a low price. The irons are there, just 8,200. He opens up a lot. So any love for Chris Kirk this week?
Not really. I don't mind him. I think like he's fine, but I also there. So it's two things. First, I don't think I'll have to be quite this low very often, and I think that that helps me kind of not try to convince myself to use a guy like Chris Kirk. I think there are other guys who are kind of around here who are more intriguing to me, like our guy Ryan Moore, not sexy Ryan Moore, not Corey Connors, straight up Ryan Moore.
Ryan Armour. Intriguing.
Oh, sexy Ryan Armour. Yeah, is Ryan Armour here?
Who cares?
It's not a distance course, man. I care. Ryan Moore is 84. I think I could be okay with him.
Yeah, Ryan Armour's here. He's only 7,700, so he's your lock of the week.
I can't find him on my sheet. He should be like blaring green at me right now, but for some reason I can't see him, and I don't want to search for it because it makes a weird noise. But I think that Ryan Moore's fine. I like Ryan Moore. You've got Matt Wallace at 85. He's intriguing to me. Byung-Hun An is 87. I think that when I go, you know, try to get those like true salary savers, I'm more inclined to go with them. Guys who I think have a better chance to push for a top 10 finish than go with Chris Kirk. So I think that's what pushes me away more so than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to argue too hard for someone who's priced at 8,200 because they're priced at 8,200 for a reason, unless it's a misprice. And it's not. I think that Kirk makes sense. He could make a cut, but it's not like you're going to, you know, miss out if he makes the cut. The real reason that I was into him is the approach has been very hot. So
yeah,
he does have a little bit of upside that you might not think he would have.
Speaking of being hot, previously, Siwoo Kim was in our current form section last week, and then he went full Siwoo Kim and missed a cut. So we're putting him in the course history section this week because he is a past champion. That win came back in 2017. Kim finished 10 under par to get the top spot there, shot 69 or better in three of the four rounds, which is very impressive and very nice. Kim was 23rd here in 2016. He was 63rd last year, so he's made the cut in all three of his trips to the Players. The one problem, Brandon, is that Kim is $9,700, which puts him $200 below Paul Casey. Is Siwoo Kim on your list in that loaded middle tier coming off of a missed cut?
I mean, I don't even really care about the missed cut with someone like Siwoo Kim because
that's how he do.
He's probably missing the cut or finishing top 10. It's just sort of, I mean, his general vibe, but it's really the price for me that's problematic. You mentioned Paul Casey at 99. Patrick Cantlay is only 10,000. Mm-hmm. Francesco Molinari is just 10,100 coming off that win. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is 98. I think there are too many options who I feel safer with, even if you bump down to like a Charles Howell, who's very steady right now. I don't really anticipate playing too much Siwoo Kim, if any.
Yeah, Henrik Stenson is another name I'd throw in there at 96, coming off of a 17th place finish, kind of rebounding after he'd had a really bad lull. Hence, Stenson's interesting.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I looked up the stats, and he was like hitting some greens in regulation over on the European Tour. He just wasn't putting super well from like a basic stat standpoint. But Ian Poulter's there too at 98. We know he can shank him, but. He can overcome that.
He can shake him, and he can make you well aware of the fact that he shanked it if you are listening to the broadcast. And bless Ian Poulter for that, for sure. But it's a really good tier, and I think that when I have all those options, I'm okay avoiding someone who may get additional interest coming off of a couple of top fives and a win here previously. So for me, I'd rather go there, specifically Paul Casey. Oh, my gosh, Paul Casey. Give me all the Paul Casey this weekend. Let's take a look at golfers who are golfing well right now, including Brandon Rory McIlroy. And I have a bit of a grudge with Rory because I had a lineup that was doing pretty well this past weekend. And I was like, oh, cool. Rory hasn't started his round yet. And Rory never really started his round, I guess. Wound up finishing sixth last weekend. But another really good finish for Rory, despite my disappointment.
Yeah, I mean... Look, we're talking FanDuel. We're not talking win picks. And I mean, Rory's been knocking on the door for a while now. He just can't close out a win. But I mean, you know, a top five, top six is pretty nice on FanDuel for sure. I mean, even at his price of 11,800. Since Pebble Beach, McIlroy's gained 40.8 strokes, a full 10 more strokes than any other golfer in the field. In 2019 alone, he also leads. He's averaging just shy of 3 strokes gained per round. Nobody else is above 2.3, according to FantasyNational.com. Since last year's Arnold Palmer Invitational win, he has lost strokes in 2 of 19 events, just lost strokes in 2 of 19. One was the Players last year, and the other was the WGC, HSBC, ABC, DEF in October. McIlroy has a fairly odd history at TPC Sawgrass for sure. He started with 3 missed cuts in 2009, 2010, and 2012. Since then, he's finished 8th, 6th, 8th, 12th, 35th, and then that missed cut last year. I mean, he's got elite form. He's got really good form overall here. So, Jim, where does Rory stack up for you relative to the top guys?
Well, let's put Justin Rose in there too. So the top four, which are DJ, Justin Thomas, Rory, and Justin Rose. In that grouping, I put Rory third behind Dustin Johnson, definitively one, Justin Thomas, definitively two, and then Rory, definitively three. I like Justin Rose from the fact that he did have a disappointing outing last week where he finished 63rd. I think that that could push some people away because I used him a decent amount last week, and people are probably not going to go back to him after that outing, especially when you add Justin Thomas into the field. So I like Justin Rose from a, you know, like a lower owned perspective. But if I'm looking at this straight up, I have DJ, JT, then Rory. So that's my ranking. What about for you?
Yeah. I just look deeper at Rose. He actually lost strokes approaching 3 of his 4 rounds.
I'm aware. Believe me. Very aware.
I still kind of like him. I think that he wouldn't surprise me if he won. So that's kind of how I
don't dislike anybody in this tier, but I have Rose fourth.
Yeah, I think he's fourth for me as well. I think Rory is still third just because I would rather find the extra money to spend up for Thomas or Dustin Johnson. Mm-hmm. I might actually put Justin Thomas just a hair above DJ.
Okay.
Or it's close enough. That always feels dumb, but to bet against anybody other than Dustin Johnson. But right. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I mean, it's sort of a 1A, 1B situation for me between Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas, then Rory, then Rose.
And Thomas is 200 cheaper than Johnson, and I think in this field that does matter. So that certainly helps. Rory 11.8, so 500 cheaper than Johnson. But even when you factor in that 500, I'd rather go DJ.
There's nothing more frustrating than literally needing like $100.
I needed $200 for my favorite lineup because I built a little bit earlier this week because the field was announced earlier, and I had $200 that I really, really needed, and it really bothered me for a very long time.
So, I mean, yeah, it does matter, even if it seems like it might not.
So I was talking about $200 between DJ and JT, like that. Yeah. That 200 does matter. So let's talk about Lucas Glover, the other superstar in this field that we didn't discuss in the top four. Frankly, I'm surprised he's not 11.9. But hey, he's $9,200. Easy game. He is coming off a 10th place finish at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. That is now the third straight top 10 finish for Glover. If you go back even further, he has finished 17th or better in 9 of his past 10 events. And that stretch does include 5 top fives. Or 5 top 10s and 2 top 5s. The stats are there for Glover too. So Lucas Glover, part of my core at $9,200. This is another tier I like a lot, between $9,300 and $8,700 or so. But Glover, I think, either at the top of that list or very close to it. So he will be part of my core. What about you for Lucas Glover, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be sort of just by default living in that range with my lineups. I think that really when it comes down to building lineups, I mean, we can say that we want to play all these studs and whatever. The difference between, you know, $8,200 for your final two because you want to you know, roster for a stud in like 92 when you can play like a Keegan and a Lucas Glover or a Jason Kokrak or a Sung J.M. That really leads me to playing more of a Lucas Glover than I actually would probably want. I kind of, you know, have no real complaints with his profile. He grades out solidly pretty much everywhere that I would want him to. I don't love him, but I really do think that in the end of the day, he's going to be on my, he's going to be on my list and he's going to make my lineups just because of that price.
I love him. I went your route and tried to make a quote unquote stats only model for this week because I wanted to feel cool. And Lucas Glover's third, like before you factor in salary, which probably means my model is flawed. But like, I'll take it. So I'm going to have a lot of him.
How far back does it go?
Not as far back as yours. I would say that.
I have him like over the past 24, I have him like 18th.
I have over the past 36.
I don't pull 36.
Yeah.
I could see the case, for just liking a lot of what he does. Mm-hmm. It also just depends on, you know, which stats you actually dig into. But I mean, he really doesn't have many holes in his game, from, you know, so over the past 100 rounds, he's 59th among the field in approach, which doesn't sound great, but out of 140 golfers, it's fine. 49th around the green, 31st on par fours, 5th in good drive rate. So, I mean, he does enough where he's not really one of these golfers who has that, like, really red cell, like, in around the green or, like, you know, good drive rate. It's like, is this guy going to tank? Yeah. Doesn't really seem like it's going to be Lucas Glover. So, again, I'm gonna play him even though I don't love him.
All righty. Let's move on to your second current form golfer, Brandon. You mentioned Charles Howell III as being a golfer who is just crazy dependable right now. And he's $9,600. So what do you see with Charles Howell III at that salary entering this event?
Yeah, he's super hot right now from a, you know, Charles Howell, you know, if you're grading on the Charles Howell scale, he won the RSM in November. And in 2019, he's finished 14th at the Tournament of Champions, 8th at the Sony Open, 34th at the Desert Classic, 20th at the Farmers, 6th at the Genesis, 14th at the WGC Mexico, and 15th last week at the Arnold Palmer. That's pretty elite form for, again, someone like Charles Howell, kind of even for anybody, really. But if you rule out the win, when he gained more than 12 strokes on the field, Howell ranks 8th in strokes gained average in 2019 alone. He's just 9,600. He is certainly someone who's on my list, even though, again, I don't really love him from a stats profile when I'm trying to project him for TPC Sawgrass, but it's really hard to argue with the results and the price. So any Charles Howell for you this week?
I think he's a great scrambler, which is good at this course, given how difficult it is. He finished 17th here last year. That's also good. But again, he is just in a loaded tier where there are a lot of guys who I like. Even if we step back from Paul Casey, who is 9'9", and Rafa Cabrera-Bello, who is 9'8", like, you do have guys who are just below that, like Billy Horschel, who is 95. I probably prefer Horschel straight up over Charles Howell III. I just like guys who have the ability to finish really high. Henrik Stenson, same thing. Like, I think that he is a better play than Charles Howell III because I think that there is more potential for a top five finish out of those guys than you get with Howell. And it's worth mentioning, Howell's finishes came in really tough events, so that's not something I'm holding against him. I just like the upside those guys bring. And then you drop down to, like, 92. Keegan is there. Lucas Glover's at 92. Jason Kokrak's 9,000. So I kind of just think Charles Howell III, even though I like what he's done, it's not enough for me to prioritize him over those other guys.
Yeah, I just – it's another one of these – that $400 could sort of go a long way because if I'm staring at a lineup and it's Charles Howell with what he's done or, like, Lucas Glover – mm-hmm. I'm really going to be wishing I had that extra 400 to get to someone of that Charles Howell caliber, at least to me. That's how I view it.
Yep. That makes sense. Let's move on here to our final current form guy, who is Brandon. We got to talk about Killa Keith Mitchell because one win, that can happen. You know, it's weird, you know, but, like, we can write that off potentially. But Mitchell followed up that win at the Honda Classic with another solid outing last week. So let's talk about Keith Mitchell. You finished sixth at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which at least partially validates the victory. He did miss three of four cuts before that, but this stretch has been super good against tougher fields. He is $8,900, ranks 22nd in approach the past 36 rounds per Fantasy National. Are you going to stick with Keith Mitchell while he is still a value play at $8,900?
Yeah. The course doesn't exactly suit Keith Mitchell from what we've known Keith Mitchell to be, but
Yanking bombs.
He's apparently making like legitimate changes to his approach game. They were talking about that on the broadcast this past week. He grades out 21st among the field in strokes gained approach over his past 50 rounds, compared to 78th over the past 100, which even, you know, bakes in the 50 most recent rounds. He finished 77th here a year ago, ranked 105th in strokes gained tee to green, but he was second off the tee. We know, again, he can launch it, but I mean, if he's finding fairways and having that, you know, improved approach, the putting is still, you know, going to be a concern till we, you know, can trust him as a more, you know, sort of neutral baseline putter over a larger sample. But for the price and the upside, I think that he's certainly in play.
Yeah, I liked him from a stats perspective heading into last week, but I was like, okay, this guy is $8,800 and coming off a win, he's going to be crazy popular. But then, you know, you look at the FanDuel numbers that you posted yesterday, he was 5.2% on FanDuel last week. And that should go up this week just because he's still a value and has now back-to-back good finishes. But like, people didn't chase that win for Keith Mitchell. And I think that that makes me more willing to use it. Now, again, that number should go up this week, but it's a pretty good tier. And just from a pure stats perspective, he actually doesn't look bad. So, you know what? I'm kind of in. I don't think I'll prioritize him over a Jason Kokrak or a Lucas Glover, but I'm going to have to change it up in that tier. I will need to save the money to get down to Keith Mitchell sometimes, and I'm okay with doing so given how good he has looked recently. I think I'm buying in.
Yeah, but we've seen that. I mean, for whatever reason, like Sungjae Im, his price doesn't really change from like that 9,000 range, and he's never really that popular that I recall. He was like 4% last week.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get Keith Mitchell and Sungjae Im to give you like a top 20 this week, that goes a long way to fitting in, you know, almost four studs. I like that a lot. So I'm going to be living in this range, and Mitchell's definitely on the list.
I would be doing the same, and there are a lot of guys we like, and we'll talk more about them in just one second. But first, with March now upon us, there isn't a better time than now to give NumberFire Premium a try. Brackets come out this Sunday, and we've got everything you need from gambling picks to bracket advice to dominate the best time of year for college hoops. Plus, we've got you covered for everything in between with tools for PGA, NBA, NHL, and the upcoming MLB season. Get your first month for just $9.99 when you sign up today with the promo code CHAMPION. That is promo code CHAMPION. Visit numberfire.com/premium for more details. Again, the promo code is CHAMPION. Speaking of CHAMPION, bookmakers have co-favorites to be the Players CHAMPION for this weekend. We got both Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy sitting at 12-1 on FanDuel Sportsbook. Then Justin Thomas is not super far behind. He is at 15-1. Justin Rose is 17-1. The next tier is at 21-1, where you find Brooks Koepka, Francesco Molinari, Ricky Fowler, and Tiger Woods. Bryson DeChambeau and Xander Schauffele are both 24-1, followed by John Rahm, who is 28-1. Jason Day and Tommy Fleetwood round out the top group at 29-1. Brandon, I think what stands out to me is that the odds at the top are fairly flat. You know, we don't have anyone who is super favorite. We don't have, you know, a big drop-off after that first tier. Does that push you more toward a certain roster construction than you would usually lean?
Yeah, I mean, I think naturally it points me just away from, you know, like a Dustin Johnson or a Justin Thomas. really, I mean, if you look at things, if you look at like any golf projections model you can get your hands on, these guys have about a 7% chance to win, you know, at the most. I actually have been experimenting with my own. That's kind of where they lie too. And if you're looking at a field this balanced and, you know, a Dustin Johnson might be, I mean, even if we think he might be a little bit lower owned, he's still going to be 20% owned, and he's got like a 7% chance realistically to win. In a field like this, I think it just gives more merit to avoiding, you know, the most popular plays of the week, and instead kind of try to settle in on getting in an extra stud, whatever that means to you, whether it is a, you know, two of the top four or three of the top 10, something like that. Maybe just getting in an extra stud from what your instinct is because it's so balanced. I think that's probably the way that I would say I think this affects me.
I think for me, it pushes me towards not going super top heavy because I can go Dustin Johnson, but then I can loop down and pick up someone like a John Rahm, like a Tiger Woods, at the bottom of the 11 range and still have enough salary to potentially get a Paul Casey, potentially get, you know, all the guys like in the 9,000 range. So a lot of times I will pair Dustin Johnson with Justin Thomas, but I think with this week, with how flat the odds are, I am more inclined to go with just one of them or bypass that tier entirely. So I think that my most popular build for this week will be one of those top four, whether it be DJ, Rory, JT, or Rose, and then one from that second tier. And I think that that's where I'll probably wind up most often. I think that a big part of it is how much I like that middle tier, the guys in the range you call the 10,000 range. That's a really good range for this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what my instinct is too, but again, it comes down to you can sort of go like Rory and let's say Sungjae Im, mm-hmm. or like Xander and maybe a Paul Casey. I think that's about the same in salary. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on, I think, where you how high up you value the top four, I would say. I mean, you can maybe throw Ricky in there at 11-6, but I think it really sort of depends on if you think that one of those four is like the play,
right?
That's sort of ultimately going to dictate, you know, how you ultimately build your lineup.
We haven't talked much about the 11,000 tier, so let's talk about the guys like Brooks Koepka, Ricky Fowler. You mentioned him there. Between 11,000 and 11,600, is there someone in that range who stands out to you who you would be comfortable prioritizing this week?
I like Tiger a lot from a, it's weird because he's a tournament play because he's hurt, mm-hmm. or he might not be 100%, but he's also Tiger Woods. So he's right. Going to be popular. I would maybe say, Xander. I actually love Brooks this week, but I can't really go on record backing him relative to all these other options. I think he's more of a play I'm going to keep to myself for fear that he blows up.
Well, you didn't do that. You kind of let the cat out of the bag there. That was the intent.
No. Not keep to myself as in I'm going to trick everyone and I'm going to
play. No. I mean, but like you don't want to like stake yourself to it, but you kind of just did.
I'll stake myself to it. I just don't want anyone to play Brooks and be disappointed. That's basically what it comes down to.
Okay. I like Tiger most by a pretty wide margin in this tier, and then it's Brooks. Like, those are my top two.
Yeah, I have a lot of takes that I'm like, you know what? I have a hunch, but not, it's not something I can recommend that other people do because it's probably really dumb.
Are any of them related to Anders Albertsen?
Yes, exactly. The okay. Anders, if this guy ever makes a putt, he's going to win an event, but I don't want to recommend him and then have people play him and then have him miss the cut. And it's not, and it's very different than I have the best play and I'm just not going to say it. It's
right.
The opposite.
I meant more so like, if you don't want to tie yourself to this dude, you've got the wrong venue for that. You already said it, man. You're tied. But to me, it is Tiger and Brooks in this tier. And I would be comfortable foregoing those top four and starting a lineup with Tiger and Brooks. Like, I think that that is how you get in maybe you get in a Hideki, maybe you get in a Fleetwood. Like that's a pretty fun lineup to me, and I'm totally okay with doing that.
Yeah, that's kind of, I've been toying with some stuff while you were running down the Vegas odds. So Alexander, I like Serge at 10-9. I like Brooks, I like Tiger. I really think that I might be sort of as my like default way to build lineups, sort of cutting off the top four, even though I think that they're fantastic plays and I would recommend them. Just me personally, I like the lineups I can build a little bit better if I go more balanced.
I just bet one that starts with Koepka and Woods, and I love it. Oh my gosh. This is my best, my favorite lineup I've ever seen in my life. All right, so I'm going to roll that one out. Not for the bobble hat, but like I'm going to use that one. So.
Yeah, Brooks is volatile enough. I've been messing with like standard deviations and all this stuff, trying to build out a model, and he's either going to win or miss the cut, basically.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And he's coming off a missed cut, so that means he's due, Brandon. That's how this works. That's always statistically relevant. Yes. What golfers have seen their odds shift in the most recent days?
Players' odds have been posted for a while, but I really think that the correct way to look at it for what we're looking for in terms of just how it's going to impact ownership is looking just since, you know, the start of the week.
Right.
I don't think
the prices, salaries came out.
Yeah. Francesco Molinari, actually, I saw him at 21.
He was at 21 this morning.
He is now 24, so he actually lengthened. Yeah, maybe it's like
he just bet down too much, like on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe it's like an overcorrection.
Yeah.
And then it sort of adjusted back. But he lengthened, and that's, you know, not something that we see typically in like a, you know, a 2-day sample for someone sort of, you know, coming off a win. But Rafa Cabrera Bello, his odds have shortened from 55 to 50. Your boy Lucas Glover from 70 to 55.
No! This was after I pulled. That means he's not going to be eligible for win picks. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, sorry about that. And I had a feeling you were going to cut everyone off at 55.
No, I'll do it. It'll still be 60. It's usually 60, and there are enough options, but that's really upsetting.
It goes on FanDuel Sportsbook, it goes from 55 to 70.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to retire. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Russell Knox, I like, and I feel a lot better now that he got bet down from 190 to 120. It's a little more palatable for me. And then Chesson Hadley, our boy, from 240 to 190, and that's really all I've seen in terms of movement.
Am I supposed to do this? Like, what's the point?
See, you kind of always throw out like a number, you know, sort of the over.
It's almost always 60 at this point. I've settled in.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe you have a little more time to think about it than I do. Maybe that's why you're actually. I didn't input last week, but it's been razor thin. It's been 0.1 position.
Oh no, I think I tanked that last week because I had Justin Rose, I think, as my pick,
and Hal Tong Lee.
Oh, good, I forgot.
Well, I had Brooks, so he missed the cut, but Rafa. So what are you gonna do?
This is bad. I don't know. I'll figure it out. What lower salary golfers have odds that stand out to you and could be my win picks now with Lucas Glover pooping the bed by getting bet down?
Well, Lucas Glover definitely makes the cut here.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. I appreciate it.
He's 55 to 1. I mean, you've been talking about him for months now. You have the ability to get him to be bet down. He's 55.
That's all because of us. We get a cut, I think.
Yeah, so he's 55. And it's 70. We have Bubba Watson. Matthew Fitzpatrick and Billy Horschel, they're all 9,500 or cheaper on FanDuel. Kevin Kisner, 75 to 1. Tyrrell Hatton, I think, could be intriguing at 85 to 1. Matt Wallace, Ben On, Keegan Bradley, Alex Noren are all 90. I would be okay with all of them. I'm probably not playing Noren, though. Keith Bitchell and Charles Schwartzel at 100 to 1. I like Mitchell this week.
Matty Fitzpatrick, we have not talked about him yet. He is $8,600. Coming off a second place finish, we know that putter can get crazy hot. Not a distance guy, which is makes it a better course for him. Any thoughts on Matthew Fitzpatrick and chasing that second place finish 86?
I really just don't play like Matthew Fitzpatrick hardly ever.
I don't either. Not the profile golfer I target.
if he's going to be like bumped up, if he's going to be bumped up from last week, I think I'm just going to avoid it.
I think I am too. And there are other golfers around there who I like. Like, again, that always helps having alternatives in that salary tier. So Matthew Fitzpatrick, hashtag go Cats, man, but probably not going to be go Cats in my DFS lineups for this weekend. Weather, as mentioned, a little bit windy. Winds will be pretty steady around 10 to 15 miles per hour all weekend, but it doesn't look like there will be any waves for winds, so probably not stacking tee times most likely, but could see some rain either Saturday or Sunday. The precipitation odds around 25% both days right now, which is not super high, but in Florida, that could always change. So keep an eye on that. As of Tuesday morning, it doesn't look like using waves to be beneficial, but you might want to give a slight bump to golfers who can do well with winds that are slightly elevated but not quite windy AF, as it is phrased on Fantasy National. Let's dive on into our player picks for the Players Championship. Brandon, in the upper salary tier, who are you targeting for the 2019 Players Championship?
I like that. You need to bring that sort of, what is it, vim?
Usually I forget where we are by this point in the podcast. So it's usually not going to happen.
I have a really hard time keeping track of the names of the tournaments as well.
I have it on the top of my like docs, but I don't look at the top of my docs ever. So like, I just don't see it.
All right. So
black out for like an hour at a time when we record.
Yeah. So I like the top four just fine. I have no problems with them. I would actually, you know, actively recommend them, but I'm not going to go that route this week of probably playing them a ton. So I'm going to be a little bit more honest and transparent with who's actually going to be settling into my lineups. I'm going to start that with Xander at 11,000. Anyone who's listened to this knows that I love Xander, but he's not going to be intimidated here by the field or the course. He showed that last year with a second place finish. He led the field in strokes gained tee to green last year. He was 67th off the tee, fifth in approach, second around the green, 90th in putting. The recent sample is very promising for him as well. I think that he stands out as someone who can realistically win. Mm-hmm. And you know, as much as I love me some, you know, Tiger, some. I love Bryson, but I really think that I need sort of that win equity baked in here, and Xander can win. So I think that gives him a bit of a tie break relative to the other sort of tier B options.
And in a field with Tiger Woods, when he's $100 more than Xander, you know Xander's not going to be too popular. So yeah. I think that certainly helps too. Let's talk about Dustin Johnson and why I am willing to pay that salary, because I think that with how well he's golfing, I think he finally gets his first top 10 finish here this weekend. He has won two of the past four events, including the most recent one for him. That was the WGC Mexico in impressive fashion. Between there, he was also ninth at the Genesis between his two wins. He ranks 25th in good drive rate over the past 36 rounds per Fantasy National. He's also fifth in approach and 36th in scrambling, which certainly does work and helps me swallow that salary. He is $12,300, but if I go balanced after that, it's still a pretty fun lineup. So I'm totally on board with DJ here. I did mention I love a Brooks Tiger lineup, but if I go Dustin Johnson followed by someone in that second tier, it's still not a bad lineup, and I like it quite a bit. So Dustin Johnson, worth the salary to me. Brandon, if you have to stake your name to one of those guys, do you wind up going definitively JT over DJ?
Sure, why not?
Okay. So we can do a bet this week.
No.
You want to run it back after Francesco Molinari won last week?
No, not after Phil, no.
What did Phil do last week?
Don't look.
I know, I'm asking you. Yeah, tell me.
Nope. Nope, we're good.
Ah, disappointing. Disappointing. But Francesco, I didn't use him in DFS. So I was kind of tilting my face off Sunday. Then you reminded me of our bet, and I felt a lot better. So
yeah.
Let's move on to our second high-salary golfers. Who else are you liking up there, Brandon?
I mean, if you couldn't tell, Phil missed the cut.
I had to draw it out there a little bit.
I thought it was obvious.
He's 70-1 now, though, if you want him.
No. He doesn't even want to be here. That's, I mean, no, I'm like, I don't think he wants to play here, and I think that he kind of is getting sort of coerced into playing the players. But what are you gonna do? I'm not playing him.
2.25 mil is a pretty convincing argument to make.
Yeah, I don't think Philly even cares.
He needs it.
I like Sergio at 10,900. He won here in 2008. He has 9 top 25 finishes in 19 events here, 6 top 10s. That is a pretty long track record, a pretty solid track record. Now, we don't generally give a whole lot of love to course history, but I think it matters here, especially factoring in the, you know, knowledge that this is no longer in May, but instead back in March. So he has some experience playing this course in March, and he's done well with that in the past. He grades out 8th in good drive rate over the past 100 rounds. He's 17th in strokes gained approach. Both the long-term form and the short-term form, I think, line up with that good history to make him a solid high-end pick, even at 10,900.
You've been on Sergio for a bit now, and it's paid off well. He was 6th and then 9th, as you mentioned. So paying off for sure.
I think 2 nice finishes.
What's that?
2 nice finishes.
Yeah. Well, in reverse order, I guess, depending on which way you're going. But yes, exactly. Sergio Garcia, 10-9. I'm probably not going to use him because I love me some Tiger Woods. Normally, he's going to be crazy popular, and he's still going to be popular this week, but maybe that neck injury makes him less so. So I like Tiger a lot. He actually is a tremendous play statistically this week. Over the past 36 rounds per Fantasy National, he is 11th in good drive rate, 2nd in approach, and 1st in scrambling. He is the only guy in this field in the top 15 in all three of those categories. We look before the neck injury, Tiger had been 20th at the Farmers. He was 15th at the Genesis, 10th at the WGC Mexico. So I'll take a stab at him here at $11,100. Brandon, you mentioned you like Tiger. What pushes you towards him this week?
I mean, kind of a lot, really. I mean, he's not safe for sure, but I think that, I mean, and he says he feels fine, but I think that either way, his ownership is going to be sort of less than it would normally be. Mm-hmm. Unless people just don't even know that he's hurt. I don't know who actually plays DFS.
People were pretty bummed when he withdrew from the Arnold Palmer. So I think people are generally aware of it.
I guess they'll know about Tiger, I guess. Yeah. So, but he's 6th in approach over the past 100 rounds, 9th on par fours, 9th in opportunities gained. So he's putting himself in scoring position. It was 11th here last year because of the short game. He doesn't have to be long off the tee. He just needs to sort of hit some of the fairways. And if he does that, I really think that he can contend. So I have no issues with Tiger at 11,100.
All righty, let's move down to the middle tier in salary now, a one that we like quite a bit. Both of us do. Who is catching your eye most in the, you know, 10,000 to 9,500 range?
So I'm actually going, we need to talk about Molinari, I think.
Yeah.
10,100. He's cheap. He's coming off a win. You'd have to think he's popular, but it's for good reason. You were in on him. You jumped back in before I did.
Not in DFS, though. Believe me, I'm still pretty mad about that.
But, by the way, according to FanShare, Tiger's up to 16 tags and nobody else has more than 10. So he's probably going to be popular.
Oh, well. I'm still going to play him because I want to enjoy watching Tiger Woods play golf.
That's the thing. It's like, I just want to, I mean.
Yeah. So okay. Go Tiger. 90% to be overweight. Let's go.
Yeah. So what are you doing with Molinari?
I think I'm going to use him. The problem is I haven't checked the FanShare tags yet. And I would expect he'll be popular. Like, even with his odds lengthening, I think that's more a correction than anything else.
He is tied for 17th right now in tags.
Really?
Yes.
I guess with Keith Mitchell not being super popular last week, maybe people are not point chasing as much as they could. So, yeah, I'll use Francesco. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, that's going to be one of the more interesting ownership projections to track. I mean, there are a lot of golfers in this range, and I'll just start with Patrick Cantlay at 10,000. Sure. That's another reason Molinari might not carry like exorbitant ownership. He's 36-1 according to FanDuel Sportsbook. Cantlay has consecutive top 25s at the Players. He's got the right recent profile to post another strong finish. He's 12th in approach, 36th around the green, 8th on par 4, 17th in good drive rate over the past 100 rounds. Last year, he graded out 4th in strokes gained tee to green at TPC Sawgrass. In 2017, he actually led the field in strokes gained off the tee. I think he sets up nicely. We've been playing Cantlay for decades now, it feels like. I'm back in on him at just 10,000.
One more thing on Francesco is that I am always more willing to use a golfer at high ownership if I think he is underpriced. And I think that Francesco at 10-1 is underpriced. In my, you know, again, my rudimentary model, he's 5th based on just his stats. And that does not, like, that's not factoring the fact that he won last week. He just had good stats. So Francesco, I think, makes sense. I also love Paul Casey, though, and I'm guessing Paul Casey will be lower owned than Francesco. But he's 9-9. I think Casey's just been golfing really well for a while now again. He did miss the cuts at the Sony Open, but outside of that, he has been the top 25 in all 5 of his events since January 1st, and that does include 3 top 3 finishes in that time. He was 2nd at Pebble Beach, 3rd at the WGC Mexico, and his stats are 6, so I don't get why he is 9-9, but I'll happily take him here, and I think that, like, that's why I didn't feel it was necessary to go out of my way to target Francesco, because I like Cantlay. I love Paul Casey. So there are so many good options here. Maybe I just need to go with a super balanced lineup and just like pepper this tier.
Yeah. I mean, in like a more normal week, in a more normal field, someone like Casey, and I guess we see it, I guess Adam Scott's probably the best example. Casey would be like 10-7. Molinari, right, would like, Molinari, I mean, pricing came up before the wins, but like he would be like, you know, 11 to, you know, 11 or 10-7, somewhere in there. You can now get your Patrick Cantlays, your Paul Caseys, your Molinaris for like anywhere between 1,000 and like 7, even maybe 500 cheaper than it, they normally would be. So you could like get 3 great golfers for kind of like 2,500 off sticker price normally.
Right. Which is attractive. And I think that that's, again, why I, you know, I'm going to wind up going here most likely. So yeah. It's really fun. If you had to pick one, Francesco, Cantlay, Casey, Rafa, who are you going with?
I would throw Poulter in there, but I would probably rank him 5th. I would rank Paul Casey 1st.
Okay. I think I would do the same. So let's move down to the other mid-priced golfers for this week. Who else is catching your eye down there, Brandon?
Yeah, I'll go a little lower here with Keegan at 92. He's 90-1 to win on FanDuel Sportsbook. He hung around for quite a while last week, finished 10th. He's made 3 straight cuts at TPC Sawgrass, 35th, 60th, and 7th. He's not a good putter on Bermuda, but that's what he was on last week, finished 10th. Yeah, I mean, he had really good form at Bay Hill despite the Bermuda splits. So, I mean, he's just overcome it because the irons have been so good. He is 2nd among the field in strokes gained approach over his past 100 rounds. So I'm back on Keegan, who's been very, very safe. I think he's actually made like the 2nd most consecutive cuts now behind Corey Woodland.
As we all expected.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. Absolutely. Like we talked about this last week, but he's kind of become steady. And so I like Keegan quite a bit. He was doing really well last week and then kind of blew up. But I think that at $9,200, given his stats, given the current form, given the fact that he finished 7th here last year, I'm in. I like Keegan too. The problem is he's the same price as Lucas Glover, but it's not really a problem because I can probably use, you know, like 3 of these guys in this tier in each lineup. And I'm just going to keep using Glover until he is no longer this cheap. We talked about the current form before and the course history, a bit less dazzling. He has been here 11 times and Glover has made just 4 cuts. But one of those cuts did come 2 years ago. He finished 6th. He is also a statistical deity. He is 1st in good drive rate the past 36 rounds, 28th in approach, 5th in scrambling per Fantasy National, $9,200. Give me Lucas Glover here, even though I can now no longer use him in the win picks because you monsters bet him down. So thank you, you devils. And I'm very sad.
Yeah, I can tell. We can tell, Jim. It's
yeah. All right, let's move down to the value tier, Brandon. 9,000 and lower. Who are you checking out there?
Another one of our boys. It's just another Sung J-M week for me.
Always.
At 9,000. He's just really balanced, and I like that on a course like this. I like that pretty much on any course, but over his past 100 rounds, he's 44th in approach, 31st around the green, 25th in good drive rate. So that keeps him in play pretty much everywhere. He's third last week at the Arnold Palmer after two missed cuts. He has not played TPC Sawgrass before, which is a little bit of a problem. We haven't kind of talked about, you know, golfers who haven't played here, but, you know, course familiarity has not really been an issue for him since he's gotten on the PGA Tour. So I'm not overly concerned. And at just 9,000, I'm going to go back there. I know it.
Only issue with Sung J-M is he is the exact same price as Jason Kokrak. So I'm going to talk about Kokrak, and then I'm going to make you pick. Kokrak. Oh, come on, man. Kokrak also 9,000. He's back-to-back top 10 finishes. That gives him now 15 straight cuts dating back to last year's Open Championship. Kokrak has been to 6 events since January 1st, and he's gotten 5 top 25s. Like Lucas Glover, he is also good statistically, 10th in good drive rate, 4th in approach. I'm very in on Kokrak again here. I want Kokrak over him, and you're picking Sung Jae, you said?
Yeah, Kokrak's got that, you know, scrambling around the green as a concern. He's 125th in the field and around the green over his past 100. Negative putter on Bermuda over a pretty sizable sample for him. So, I mean, I still like him. I'll still use him, but yeah, straight up, I'm going to be locking in Sung J-M before I plug in Jason Kokrak.
Just so you can laugh at me, I mentioned my stats-only model again, very rudimentary. He's 4th behind Lucas Glover, behind Hideki, and behind Tiger. So Jason Kokrak, 4th place finish coming up.
For me, he's 5th over the short and long. He's 27th over just the past 100.
So you're saying he's going to win?
That's what I yeah.
Guaranteed.
I'm glad he picked up on that subtext.
Yeah, I can read between the lines. I can do this. We've hosted a podcast together long enough. Let's dive down below 9,000, Brandon. Who are you checking out as a value play that can give you additional flexibility if you do decide you want to jam in another stud or get to someone like Dustin Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned Mitchell. I like who you're going to mention in a second. I like Russell Knox as well. But Matt Wallace at 85, I think, is someone we can go to. He's 90-1 to win on FanDuel Sportsbook. Doesn't have a lot of info in the stats profile yet, but very promising early returns. 71st in approach, which is, you know, not great. It's about middle of the pack for this field. 49th around the green. 61st on par fours. Just 26 measured rounds for him, though. But he's finished 33rd at the WGC Mexico, which, you know, small field, not great, but a loaded field. 20th at the Honda, and then 6th last week at the Arnold Palmer. For the price of $8,500, I think he's a viable way to save salary.
I mentioned before that I had a lineup that really bothered me that I needed $200 for. The solution to me was drop down from Byung-Hun on to Matt Wallace at 8,500. So I like Matt Wallace too. Not as much as I like Byung-Hun Ahn. So let's talk about him here. But I think that he is, you know, someone I'll use this week for sure. Byung-Hun Ahn, all my favorite guys are cheap. So let's go. He got off to a pretty rough start last week, but he rebounded in a big way. Got a 10th place finish there. Ahn has now finished in the top 20 in 4 of his last 7 and 6 of his past 11 events. He knows the course. He finished 30th here last year, ranks 18th in the field and approach over the past 36 rounds. So I am fully in on Byung-Hun Ahn at $8,700. And Brandon, you mentioned you like him as well, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Russell Knox, 86. He did pot for me too. The current form, not bad. Stats, not bad. I think that he makes sense. Anyone else you want to mention as a potential value play for this week?
Chesson's 85. I could see the case for him this week for sure. I think that were just consistently higher on Chess and Hadley than pretty much anybody else.
The odds coming down doesn't hurt.
Yeah. I mean, really, though, like, it's great if you play, like, I'm just going to throw out, like, Avon Taylor's got good recent stats, but if you play him and he makes the cut and finishes, like, 35th, that's going to help you because he's so cheap. But
yeah,
I really don't think that this is the week where I'm digging below 8,000 for any of these options.
Any Chez for you at 87?
I don't think he really did anything for me. I guess 26th in approach, 105th around the green, 6th in good drive rate. I could see the case for it.
Uh-huh.
But I mean,
he's the same price as Ben Ahn. That's the issue I have. But yeah, like, if I need to change it up, I could see myself using Chez.
Yeah, and then Knox is there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might even just, even though I don't like Fitzpatrick that much, his win odds are so low.
Right. Or,
you know, so, I guess, good for his price that I might even go there.
Okay. Before we close up shop, we got to pick our winners. I'm going to stick with 60. I would have picked Lucas Glover, which means he is guaranteed to win this week, which is really unfortunate. But one golfer, anyone you'd like, we're going to keep the top four in there too. So if you want to pick one of them, you can. And then one golfer who is 60-1 or longer, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, as of 11:05 on Tuesday morning. Who you got, Brandon?
All right, because I won the bobble hat last week, I'm going to take first pick.
I wasn't going to mention that because I talked smack all last podcast and it really bit me hard.
It was like 420-290 or something.
It was a bloodbath. HV3 made sure I gave up on the bobble hat real quick last week.
All right, so I'm actually going to go with my longer pick here.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with, it's between Howell and Ben Ahn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick wrong, but I'm going to go with Charles Howell.
You left me Jason Kokrak, who you slandered earlier by taking Sung JM over him. It's got to be Kokrak. Got to be.
Okay, let me...
It was between him and Keegan, and like, it's Keegan. I mean, Keegan won recently, but I don't know. It's the same thing for both those guys, but I'm going to go Kokrak.
All right, and then at the top, we can pick anybody?
Yeah, anybody you want. You can pick DJ if you want. Okay.
All right, how about... I'll regret this, but I'll take Justin Thomas and leave you DJ.
Okay, that's fine. I'll take that. Since we did just basically go head-to-head with them earlier.
Yeah. I mean, if I was picking somebody, you know, more fun near the top, I would probably be between Brooks and, like, Serge.
Yeah. If I were betting near the top, I think Hideki would be my guy at 36.
I would love to play Hideki. Like, I would love to bet Hideki.
You just don't watch him.
You just can't
watch. It's like 2016, I think, Jacob deGrom, where you can use him in DFS, but if you watch him, you're going to die. Like, you're going to have a heart attack, and you're going to hate your life.
There's like
use him, just don't watch him.
There's like one specific putt burned in my head from last week. It was like a 5-foot. It was like straight for the cup, and then it just like curved out of the way.
It was like Hideki.
It was like a cartoon. It was supposed to go straight, but just because Hideki hit it, it just like curved.
It's like Space Jam when Bugs Bunny has the magnet beneath the hole.
Yeah.
It's like, he just didn't bring it towards the hole because he's a monster.
Or like in Happy Gilmore when there's clearly like a tube below the green that's, you know, the track that the ball's on, and it's, you know, rolls past the cup and rolls back in. That's Hideki, but it's just rolling anywhere but the cup.
So Hideki's going to win.
I'd love that. I would be fine with that if we miss out.
Yeah, if I were betting, I'd go Hideki or Paul Casey.
Yeah, Paul Casey's fun too. Yeah, I mean, I can throw out like some. I mean,
why not?
If we're like betting value, I would not really touch Justin Thomas at 15-1, but Brooks, I would be more okay with at 21 on FanDuel. Xander's 29. It would not surprise me if he won. Garcia's 34. Paul Casey's 41. That's pretty intriguing to me with how good he's been. And he's starting to be more likely to win. He's, you know, sort of gotten over that hump a bit.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd go Hideki and Paul Casey, probably my picks there. And Jason Kokrak, of course, because he is your 2019 The Players Championship champion. That is all that we have for today. Quick reminder, though, we have NBA podcasts every weekday here on the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed, the Daily ISO with Tom Vecchio. That goes up around 9 o'clock each morning on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app, NASCAR Podcast Wednesday, NCAA Tournament Podcast with Keith Goldner and Ed Feng. That is coming up on Monday. Then MLB podcast coming up later this month. So all that by subscribing to the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Brandon, if people have questions for you on Twitter, where can they find you there?
I'm at Gdula13, G-D-U-L-A-1-3.
And I am at Jim Sonnes, J-I-M-S-A-N-N-E-S. You can also follow the Number Fire Podcast Network at Number Fire Pods, P-O-D-S, as in podcasts. We do want to thank you all for tuning in for today. Good luck with your DFS lineups for the Players Championship. Back at you next week to talk more golf, NASCAR, and NBA and the NCAA tournament. This has been the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by Number Fire.